Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be beginning our journey through 2 Chronicles in chapter 1. Now, the opening line of this chapter is actually the theme. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. And the greatness of Solomon and his kingdom is actually what the chapter is going to focus on in between verses 6 through 12 by telling you how Solomon became great. And then from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, we'll learn about how great Solomon was. So let's go ahead and dive in at verse 6. Verse 6 says, Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Now, the burnt offering was actually the offering of a bull. You didn't keep any of the meat or any of the fat or any piece of the animal back. Instead, a burnt offering was a way of showing your appreciation to God. Therefore, God got everything, and usually the burnt offering, in this case, because it was Solomon, would have been that of a bull. We're told that Solomon did all of this at the high place at Gibeon. Now, this was the place where David made a sacrifice to stop the plague that was sweeping through Jerusalem and made atonement for the people. It was a very fitting place to build a forever temple whose foundations would stand at the very place where atonement was made to save the people from their sins. So Solomon gathers the entire city, the entire nation, in front of that high place. And there he praises God and offers over 1,000 sacrifices. He says to God in verse 8, "You have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" We're told that God was so blessed that David didn't ask for great things for himself, that he decided to not only give him the wisdom that he felt he lacked, but also the riches and the greatness and the splendor that most men would have asked for anyways. David had fought all the battles, and he had earned all of the rewards that Solomon got to enjoy. The spoils of war were taken by his father David, but now the nation needed to be led into that prosperity, into that peace, and young Solomon didn't feel he was up to the task. Ben Franklin was walking out of Independence Hall after the Constitutional Convention in 1787 when someone shouted out, "Doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy?" To which Franklin supposedly responded with a rejoinder at once witty and ominous, "A republic, if you can keep it." If you can keep it. That was the key to Solomon. He was worried that he couldn't keep the kingdom, so he asked for wisdom. In fact, he wrote a whole book about that wisdom and the importance of it. It's called Proverbs, and in it, the father is telling his son that wisdom is more precious than gold or silver or rubies. For by them, Solomon says, comes everything else. You know, years ago, Charles Spurgeon wrote a series of newspaper articles in the 1800s called John Plowman Talks. In the article, Solomon, a very famous preacher in London, disguised himself by using the pen name of John Plowman. The persona of John Plowman was a simple farmer, not a wealthy king like Solomon, but poor. But where John Plowman was rich was in wisdom, and his colloquial wisdom became very popular with Londoners who would await the latest article from this John Plowman from out in the country, who humorously and wisely shared simple truths. Here's a sample from John Plowman Talks. "Every minnow nowadays calls itself a whale. Every donkey thinks itself fit to be one of the queen's horses. Every candle reckons itself the sun. But when a man with his best coat on, a paper collar, a glass in his eyes, a brass chain on his waistcoat, a cane in his hand, an emptiness in his head, fancies that people cannot see through his swaggers and brags, he must be ignorant, very ignorant, for he doesn't know himself. Dandies dressed to the top of fashion think themselves somebodies, but nobody else does. Dancing masters and tailors may rig up a fop, but they cannot make a nothing into a man. You may color a millstone as much as you like, but you can never improve it into a cheese. Just so you know, that's first-rate comedy in the 1800s, and people ate it up, because no matter who you are and what walk of life you live in, you appreciate wisdom, and you know it when you hear it, unless, of course, you're a fool. So don't be a fool. Be like Solomon, who not only prioritized the worship of God, but also prioritized the wisdom of God. And then as a result, he received the wealth of God. Now, by wealth, I don't mean that you're going to have a personal zoo like Solomon did. Oh yeah, he had orangutans. He had all kinds of exotic animals. He also had chariots and stables full of horses. Now, I know that you hear that and you think, oh, big whoop, I got a car. Well, in those days, having a chariot and horses was like saying somebody owned a garage full of Maseratis and Porsches, and Solomon owned them in the thousands. Now, here's what's important to know. If you owned chariots and horses back then, and you had a sizable amount of them, nobody could beat you in battle. So we also see that Solomon was secure. So when we talk about the wealth of God, we mean the blessings of God, the blessings that come from walking in wisdom. And God tells him, if you will walk before me, I will bless you. But if you don't, I won't. And of course, that will come at one of our later chapters. But for now, it's important for you to know that if you prioritize wisdom, almost anything else that you want in life will be given to you. Have you ever seen somebody lose everything because they made foolish decisions in their life? Maybe they tried out a phone scam, where if they invested $200, they'd be promised $2,000 in return. In fact, as they continued to go down that rabbit hole, they get more and more promises. Well, if you invest another $1,000, we can turn it into $10,000. I've watched people go dirt poor and completely bankrupt because they kept chasing the get-rich-quick scheme. I've also witnessed people quickly destroy everything they worked so hard to build because they couldn't prioritize faithfulness over pleasure. You know, that's just plain foolishness. So wherever you're at today, ask God to give you wisdom. Wisdom that you don't have today, but God will continue to build in you. Little by little. In fact, every day we pray, not my will be done, but your will be done. And that, my friend, is wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. Start by asking God for wisdom every day. You see, it doesn't matter what your challenges are, as long as you've gotten the wisdom from God that you need. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 1 today, and we'll see you tomorrow on chapter 2 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.